All right, everybody should take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read, I was just going to read a few verses, but I think I'd rather read the whole chapter, and so it's not very long. But if you don't mind standing in honor of God's word, and we'll read this. I don't think it'll take too long. If you're unable to stand, don't worry about it, but if you can stand, please stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. And dear Heavenly Father, I love this church. My heart's desire is to be a blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, I can't do that without you. Dear Heavenly Father, you're the only one that can meet every need. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Dear Heavenly Father, I desperately want to be used by you this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I had confirmation already that This is the message that you'd have me to preach just from Jackie's song. And dear Heavenly Father, I know that this is something that you gave me. And I pray that you just use it to speak to hearts. Help me to be an encouragement. Help me to be a blessing. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, oftentimes we hear people asking questions on how can I make a difference? And how can I help somebody through hard times? And basically, the other question we hear is, how can I make an impact on such a sin-sick world? Well, God was showing me back in 2005 when I started working on an ambulance. And what I learned was shocking, is that I guess I'd never really realized before how much hurt was out in the world. I remember a few of my early 911 calls. One was to an elderly gentleman who had called 911, and his wife was having a medical emergency, and she was not herself. And I'll never forget the tears flowing down his face as the woman he loved was having a medical emergency. I'll never forget, within the same time, was a 40-year-old man working at a convenience store. And basically, it was a big store, and his boss called 911 because he was in the bathroom cutting himself. And when we got him in the back of the ambulance, I asked him, I said, why are you cutting yourself? Because he said, the hurt I feel inside, this is the only way I know how to get any sort of relief from my pain. And I tell you what, the next call it seemed like I got was a call to a store clerk who was having a bad day, who because of that bad day was rude to a customer that was also having a bad day, but that customer had a firearm in his back pocket and shot the guy behind the counter. And as we were treating both of them, the guy that did the shooting said, I just wanted somebody to care. And very early on, I began to realize that this world is full of hurt. This world is longing for someone to love them. And I'll be honest with you, as I went through these calls, I realized that, you know what? Jesus was the only one that was going to love them like what they needed. And they needed the Lord. But what I realized was that hurt was everywhere. You see, to the caring and observant person, as we look around even this auditorium, we see people who are lonely because the spouse that they love so much has passed away, or a loved one has passed away. Or maybe there's an individual that is fearful because their pastor of 21 years, who we all love, is leaving. We can egg his car later on. anyways, here's the thing is, there are people that are struggling with cancer or other health problems. People who hobble in and they're in so much pain because, you know what, here's the thing is, they just have to be here because they know that this is the place that they should be, and that this is where they feel loved. But too many times, people, whether it be outside this church or inside this church, we feel like we have to deal with this hurt alone. Too many times we burn out and we feel like no one cares. Is this God's plan? Is this the way it needs to be? The answer is emphatic, no. And the thing about it is that this morning I'm going to preach on a love that counts. See, as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we hear about a fundamental truth. And this fundamental truth is something that I believe that as a whole in America, Christians and churches have gotten away from. This is the idea found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and have not charity, I am nothing. When it comes down to it, we know in John chapter 15 and verse 3, that 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We know that Christ loved us. I tell you what, if it weren't, just think about the cross. Think about the fact that when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, I had a Savior that loved me so much that he was willing to leave the glory and splendor of heaven for a sinner that didn't deserve anything. To die on the cross for my sins. The love that Christ showed on the cross was just amazing. And the love that Christ shows even after salvation, the fact that he gave us the Bible. And so here's the thing is, we know that Christ loves us. And we know that in 1 Peter chapter, I'll give you a moment to turn there if you'd like. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we see that in verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." And here's the thing is that too many times we as Christians, too many times we as churches, we fail to realize that we're supposed to love like Christ. We're supposed to show the love of Christ. This is why so many churches these days are closing their doors, is because they fail to love like Christ. This is why too many times Christians are living the defeated life, is because we fail to love like Christ. This is why church splits happen. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible talks about we are supposed to have this same thought. Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We're to have the mind of Christ. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to the mind of Christ, you know what? You can sum up Christ's ministry here on this earth in love. We need to learn to love. The true problem is that the world's philosophies have crept in. You see, the world says to live life for you. The world says it's all about you. The world says to climb over the backs of others to get what you want. The world says to scratch and claw and do whatever it takes at whatever cost to get what you want. The problem is that goes against this book right here. And so this is I'll be honest with you, this is the reason the world is full of loneliness and sorrow. This is the reason why there's so much heartache and pain in the world. This is why there's so much desperation. depression and heartbreak and ruined lives everywhere is because we've gotten away from this book right here. And we as Christians, we are to be the answers. We are the ones to show Christ to the world. We are the ones to say, hey, listen, the answer is Jesus. Let me show you, let me introduce to you to a person who loves you beyond all human understanding. And listen, we are to show that love. Yet too many times we as Christians have adopted the same philosophy of the world in our homes, in our relationship, and in our churches. And yet somehow we're surprised that we get the same results as the world. You see, we want our own way. We seek our own happiness. But the problem is that we won't find it. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The Bible also talks about that we are to be a peculiar people. Here's the thing is, you know what we're supposed to come out of the world? One of the things that we're supposed to come out of the world is that philosophy of selfishness. We're supposed to be different. And I'll be honest with you. You go out in the world and you show the love of Christ, man, there's a stark contrast between you and the world. There has to be a contrast. There has to be something different. Because let me tell you, the world's love, if you can call it that, is emotional. The world's love is inconsistent. The world's love is situational. Well, if you do, then I will. Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. There was no situational. There was no conditions on that. The thing about it is the condition was, is, hey, listen, I realize that there are people down there that I love. And so therefore, I'm going to give. These traits are basically, the world's traits are that of are different than that of what God expects. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. And so here's the thing is, as we see is, you know what? Too many times we trust the flesh. We decide that, you know what? Well, I think, I'll be honest with you, we've got to get back to this book right here. We've got to get our thought processes from God. We've got to get our actions from God. And here's the thing is, too many times we'll take and we'll decide, hey, listen, what I think is best is, let's go back to the Word of God. And see, here's the thing is, too many times churches will bring in bands, they'll dim the lights and make the church look like a nightclub. That's not God's way. Because here's the thing is, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we've got to follow God's way. We've got to decide that, hey, listen, God has a way to evangelize the world. You know what? God loves each person a lot more than we do. And here's the thing is, too many times we need to develop that love and by drawing closer to God. But here's the thing is that Christians are not to run around the world looking like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world, and loving like the world. We're to go around showing the love of Christ. You see, the world already knows that they don't have the answers. So why would the world look to somebody that looks like them? Why would the world look to somebody that acts like them? And why would the world look to somebody that they view as being identical to them? That's why God calls us to be that peculiar people. You see, the world already has hurt. They don't need any more hurt. The world already has fighting. They don't need any more fighting. The world already has gossip and backbiting. They don't need that. They already have pain and misery. And listen, when it comes down to it, everyone wants something different. And that difference, that different thing that they want is love. I'll never forget, a few years back, I heard a survey, and they surveyed a group of people. What is the one thing that you want the most in life? Top of the list was love. The question is, we have the love that they need. What are we going to do with it? Turn your Bibles back to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Therefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet not henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled of God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible talks about the love of Christ constrains us. When I think about it, I think of my boys wrestling. It seems like they wrestle around, and one always tries to restrain the other one. And then the other one tends to wiggle out. But here's the thing, is think about this. A love so powerful that it compels us, that here's the thing, is we can't resist. It captivates you. You can't help but be wrapped up in it, allow you to control you. You just want to be there. Here's the thing is that I think all of us, we know people in our lives where we feel loved. And it seems like you just can't get enough of it. And listen, this is the way the love of Christ is. This is the love that we must show. Our love should be Christ's love and should draw others to Christ. The Bible talks about that we should be a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Too many times we resemble the world, and therefore we don't love Christ like we should. Because here's the thing is, if our lives resemble too much of what the world is, here's the thing is, we're not peculiar people. You, when we take and we dress like the world, we talk like the world, we act like the world, we treat other people like the world, too many times we're not going to show the love of Christ like we should. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, the Bible also talks about we're an ambassador for Christ. Now, hopefully we never get called to be ambassadors in Afghanistan because they're not treated all that well. But when it comes down to an ambassador as a representative, how well do we represent Christ? How well do we... the Bible talks about ye are epistles written in our heart, known and read of all men. Are we representing the NIV more than we're representing the KJV? Are we more of a watered down, diluted version of Christ? Are we, here's the thing is, when somebody looks at us, do they say, there's a Christian? And by the way, the Bible says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. They didn't call themselves Christians. They were called Christians. Why? Because they were showing the love of Christ. When people looked at them, think about the verse, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When others look at us, do they see Christ? Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And verses 1 through 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. when it comes down to it, the Bible says that if we love, I'll be honest with you. I can summarize this whole sermon in this. If we love like Christ and we love Christ, a lot of the other stuff will fall in place. How we treat others. Have you ever tried to mistreat somebody that you loved? It's hard. And everybody's looking at Aaron. Anyways, but when it comes down to it, listen, if you love Christ, you want to please him. If you love Christ, your priorities might start matching up with his. When you love people, I'll be honest with you, too many times so-and-so did this to me. I tell you what, if we have the love of Christ, we're going to forgive. If we have the love of Christ, you know what, and pray for those people, we're going to see it as they need more love. Anyways, but here's the thing is, I've got to cut my sermon short because of time, but basically, listen, you see, the truth is that if we want to make a difference, it's found in this passage right here. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we see a need, when we see someone going through a hard time, I'll be honest with you, the best thing we can do is pray for them. But after we pray for them, we'll start to notice that we'll love them a little more. And you know what we need to do is we need to find ways of showing the love of Christ to those people. I'll be honest with you, as you look for a pastor, I'm praying it's me. but hopefully, you know, here's the thing, is we're just praying for God's will. But as you look for a pastor, you need to look for somebody that's going to cry with you during the hard times. Somebody that's going to love you. Somebody that's going to rejoice with you during the good times. Someone that's going to be there for you during the sad times. And someone that just loves you so much that their desire when they get behind this pulpit is that you know the joy of walking with God. And here's the thing, is because I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of pastors out there who don't make it and are not successful. And to be honest with you, some I wonder if they should even be in the ministry. But anyways, so here's the thing is, without love, a pastor won't last. And so when it comes down to it, too many times we focus inward and we think, what makes me happy? And to be honest with you, too many times we forget about our spouse and we get so worried down about our burdens and our struggles and we fail to see the burdens and struggles of our spouse. And we get burdened down with our struggles and we forget the burdens and struggles of our children. And we forget the burdens and struggles of our church members. And we forget the burdens and struggles of those around us. And I'll be honest with you, that during those tough times, those are the times where we can make the greatest impact. When the love of Christ is the most useful. And here's the thing is that we've just got to take, and we've got to get away from the selfishness and realize that, you know what? Charity is a command. And by the way, if we don't have it, the Bible says our life is nothing. The question... I've got to skip back to the last page. I skipped about three pages. But there's a story about Abraham Lincoln, and I think it fits this perfectly. One of Abraham Lincoln's most outstanding political enemies was a man named Edwin J. Stanton. Stanton called Lincoln a low, cunning clown and the original gorilla. He even said that it is ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla when they could find one easy in Springfield, Illinois. I tell you what, those are brutal words. To Lincoln's credit, he never responded to these insults. Yet, when he was elected president, Lincoln chose Stanton to be his Secretary of War. And when asked why he would choose him as a Secretary of War, Lincoln's response was, because he was the best man. Later, when Lincoln had been assassinated, Stanton stood by the coffin which contained Lincoln's body, and through a fountain of tears, he said, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. See, patient love in action won this man over an end. I'll be honest with you. If we're going to lead a lost and dying world to Christ, it's going to be because of patient love that we learn from Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the love that you showed us. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you humbly, and we beg of you that we would show the love of Christ to a lost and dying world, that we would show those around us. Dear Heavenly Father, I think about the verse that talks about we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help our lives to show that we love you and that we love each other. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to hearts this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Pastor.